from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, real quick, before we get to the thing that Houston has become ground zero for, the one thing I forgot to mention that I actually teased into the previous segment, the thing that I thought was really cool that wound up on the broadcast last night, Seth, where if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, I'm like, oh, or a Minnesota Vikings fan, I'm like, ah. Stephon Diggs out there dapping up the teammates, man. Stephon Diggs doing all the same things on the sidelines that he's been doing out at training camp.
Yeah, I don't get like preening about a guy acting cool in training camp. Like, there's no part of Buffalo fans that are like, oh yeah, he was a complete a-hole when he first showed up that first training camp. None of them say that. None of them. They all recognize and understand that things were really cool those first 2 years. So I think Bills fans who are more divided on the Diggs stuff anyway than I think a lot of people think, I think they look at it as like, yeah, that's how he was with us. It's like largely the issues with Stephon Diggs came after 2.5 years on the team, and it's not going to be a factor this year at all. I think most Bills fans would say, yeah, he was really, really cool the first year.
I'm going to ignore everything you just said for the last minute and choose to believe that Bills fans are somewhere right now green with envy over this version of Stephon Diggs that we have here in Houston.
Can you believe he's acting exactly the same way he did in the first training camp with the Bills?
No.
How come we didn't get that version of it? Oh, yeah, we did.
Because most of these people have been dropped on their heads through a flaming table. They can only remember as far back as last year.
Yeah.
So they're like, man, that guy was a jerk.
Where the real gloating would come in is if Josh Allen takes a step backwards as a receiver, as a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
What do you think? That's where if like, okay, without Stephon Diggs, because yeah, I know Stephon Diggs wasn't the focal point of the offense in the back third of the season last year, but he was definitely a factor. He was definitely an element in the way teams played coverages and everything. So if Josh Allen, with a loss of not just him, but also Gabe Davis.
Yeah, man.
And they drafted Keon Coleman, who I'm curious to see exactly how well he integrates into the offense. I don't know if he's
I've seen that training camp thing where they show like two plays he makes at training camp. You're like, Keon Coleman is piecing the Bills secondary in training camp.
Yeah.
All right. These are two nice plays that I saw right there. What's the concern level on Josh? You talk to people who have a vested interest in that. What's the concern level about Josh Allen going forwards or backwards this year?
Oh, it was all Josh Allen, no Steph Diggs.
Really?
When it came to, yeah, Josh Allen made Steph Diggs. Yeah that's those are people on the internet who come at me when I say anything nice about Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
But that's the least educated take that people have.
The odds makers think the Bills are going to be just fine. They're like a top five Super Bowl team on the odds board right now.
Yeah, Sean McDermott gets fired midseason, I think.
Yeah,
I would say he'd be my favorite for one of the first coaches to get fired.
I thought it was going to start happening last year, and I looked right for a while, and then they went on that run at the end of the year to where they ended up getting the 2 seed, I think, in the AFC. So as the Astros were DFAing Rafael Montero earlier this week, a lot of talk was made, similar to when Jose Abreu got DFA'd, that, well, this is what happens when you don't have a GM. You know, a lot with the Montero thing, a lot of it was now we can close the book on the winter of Bagwell and Crane, like with no GM there. And I'm thinking to myself, man, a lot of this stuff sounds really familiar, like bad contracts given out, not really good explanations for the contracts. I'm like, man, this sounds so familiar. Oh, that's right. The Houston Texans did kind of the same thing back in 2019 when they tried to hire Nick Caserio. They couldn't. And they said, well, Bill and Jack, you go ahead and run things here. And I cannot think of, and I racked my brain, Seth, and I looked it up, and I used my Google machine and everything else. I cannot think of another instance in recent years where a team willfully just decided to go ahead and start making moves without a conventional GM in the building at all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And other than these two, why did it have to be Houston where they both happened? They both happened within 2 years of each other. We got this dynamic here.
I think, I don't know. Maybe it's our can-do spirit in this city. Maybe it imbues people with, maybe it kind of filters into the executives.
Yeah, maybe.
And they feel like, this is a state where people just went and they dug a hole in the ground and got rich.
Yes.
You know, there's just a lot of people striking out and doing it on their own.
Outside the box thinking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Outside the box thinking.
Outside the box thinking.
Or just like we see it. We're smart people who know how to do this job that other smart people do 18 hours a day. So yeah, we can do a better job than they do because we're thinking outside the box.
The two disasters I'll use just as maybe a bit hyperbolic in the case of the Astros, but I think it's interesting. Like, they fired Brian Gaine. I think there's some similarities to it. Like, Brian Gaine hadn't done anything, I think, to justify getting fired. Similar to, like, I don't think James Click had done anything that would merit him not coming back as the GM, especially in retrospect. He made some moves that they're still benefiting from to this day in some of the trades that he made.
The biggest thing that Brian Gaine didn't do, though, was just he was not active. I mean, he was the opposite of Caserio. He didn't have a single draft day trade. There were elements there where it did look like maybe he was out over his skis a little bit in terms of just going from being a personnel person to the actual GM.
Yes, and again, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up. Again, another similarity between the two is that, you could say one way to couch that is Brian Gaine wasn't aggressive enough.
Yeah.
One way to couch the reason that I think James Click didn't really last with Jim Crane is he didn't really have that same gene that Crane does, maybe to Crane's own detriment he's been this way, but where aggressiveness and big moves are the rule of the day, you know?
Right. And I think in the Bills, the Texans situation, it was I think Bill O'Brien probably getting frustrated with Brian Gaine for that reason. And yeah. And we also know, like, I mean, O'Brien, you know, he says and admits now that he can't be a GM, but I don't know if as a coach he can coexist with a GM because he's the kind of guy that keeps receipts and keeps track of, like, oh, you were wrong about this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This guy, you're an idiot, without remembering all of the guys he was wrong about himself. There was somebody in the organization didn't like the fact that the GM wasn't as active as he should be.
Which job, if you had to pick a GM job to take, let's pretend that from a sports standpoint, baseball or football, you're perfectly trained to to build a roster in either sport. You know, you've got enough acumen and know-how to build a roster in either sport. Would you rather take over a situation like Nick Caserio did back in 2021, where it's a total teardown, the issues that are in place are not of your doing, they're a previous GM that was terrible at their job, and you probably have a little bit of room to maneuver to try to build it in your build that team in your vision, in your image? Or would you rather take the job Dana Brown did, where it's already a championship-level team? There's a couple real big warts on the team that are the owners doing, but by and large, you're still going to be competing for World Series championships or be in that conversation for the next several years.
I think, I had to simplify this because there's about eight facets that come to mind. For one, Caserio, I mean, the biggest thing that he had thrown on his lap that ultimately ended up being the best thing for the team was that he showed up to the job and found out that the quarterback wanted to be traded.
Yes.
And then also found out a whole bunch of other stuff about the quarterback.
Right.
And that somehow that all worked out for the better. I don't know if I would have wanted that. I didn't think that, like, going back and being honest with it, I don't think I would have wanted that. I would have known that I was in for a turnaround, but I thought I'd probably... Caserio took the job probably thinking, like, yeah, well, we got a quarterback at least. Because that worked out freakishly well. I would say, I think that I would almost always take the football situation there just because it's easier to have a quick turnaround in football.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the GM needs to be focused on 3, 4, and 5 years out, some of the changes that you make can kick in faster in football. In baseball, likewise, you're only going to be judged. You should be judged on what happens 3, 4, and 5 years from now.
Right.
But when you're taking over a team like the Astros that's already playing at a very high level, you're going to be blamed for all of the weaknesses or anything that happens 2, 3, and 4 years out. When really, like with the Astros, it might be more of a 4 or 5 year time horizon because you're trying to restock. You're trying to restock a pipeline while also maintaining a championship caliber run. And, like, let's say if it works out this year with some of the moves you made at the trade deadline, you did weaken yourself for 3 or 4 years down the line.
Yeah.
And Dana Brown will get blamed for that.
Yeah.
Without it necessarily being his fault when he's supposed to be trying to win a championship this year.
Yeah. Mine would be Caserio. I would take the Caserio job. I would have taken, if you said you can have the Texans job on January 8th, 2021, and again, at that time, Nick Caserio didn't know that Deshaun Watson was ready to request the trade. Or Dana Brown taking the job in late January 2023. The sport doesn't matter to me as much as it does the environment that I need to operate in. And I just think it's night and day. Nick Caserio walks into a situation. Now, granted, Easterby was still in the building, but Nick was able to wait that out, and Jack's out of the building now. So that,
well,
I guess,
waited out was, I think Nick had to. He had to learn.
Yes.
It took him about a year, I think, perhaps, to figure out exactly what the reality of the situation was.
Agreed. I think, even with Easterby in the building, you've got an owner that ultimately, at the end of the day, is going to let you do your thing in Cal McNair, who is going to spend the money where you want to spend the money. I know there's a salary cap, so, you know, spending on players is something that's already governed, but I'm talking about things behind the scenes. Like, Cal is going to give you the resources to be successful. With Dana, it's not just that you're walking into a situation where the owner made some strange decisions and mistakes that are impacting your ability to build a team or construct a... You're walking into this situation where there's three other people in the owner's ear. Like, where do I fit into this whole thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why is Reggie Jackson here? What is Jeff Bagwell doing talking? Like, I'm the general manager of this team.
You know what? Ultimately, it's kind of like the Falcons situation this offseason where people were wondering why the Falcons wouldn't hire Bill Belichick. And I think the very reason they didn't offer him a job might have been an indication that it might not have been a good fit for Belichick, because it sounded like all of the front office people were, it seems to me that the front office people in Atlanta were paranoid about what Belichick would do and how much control he would have when he came in. And then Belichick would have been dealing with that same dynamic of, like, oh, we got three different dudes that the owner wants to listen to while I'm trying to recommend some of these wholesale changes.
Yep.
What the hell am I fighting? Like, do I have to fight every single time I want to make an improvement? So it might have been the best for all parties involved that Belichick didn't get that job.
Do you think he coaches again, Belichick?
He's doing at least 4 media gigs this year.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on the pregame show a little bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to think like, well, these seem like pretty easy media gigs.
Yes.
I looked at it as these look like media gigs that Belichick is going to spend 14 hours a day preparing for.
Yeah.
Especially the fantasy one is a lot of just him breaking down game plans and in-game decisions and everything. I think that like a lot of people, I think like, you know, Gruden had talked about this and other guys in broadcasting that went back into coaching have said, you get an opportunity in broadcasting that you never get as a coach, and that you get to see and you get to talk to a lot of people about what's going on that week with their team, and you get exposed to different perspectives that maybe you don't because you're in your own little silo your entire year. I think he uses the broadcasting as a way to kind of gain some perspective and maybe gain some edges and that he had blind spots to before, and then goes back into
He's
it
back
a year
next
or two.
Year. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he won't wait as long as Gruden. If he were to do that, he'd be in his mid-80s. You know, Gruden was away for a long, long time from coaching. We'll see. I'm anxious to see him in all these gigs, man, Belichick. It'll be interesting to see.
The only extended time I've seen him really was on the Pat McAfee draft show, and I thought he fit in with those guys.
Yes.
He's the only guy wearing a suit,
yep.
But he looked like he was having fun doing it. He was there to be that guy.
Yes.
He was like the fun grandpa.
Yep.
You know, they could give you some wisdom, but could also tell a dirty joke.
Speaking of broadcasters, list has come out. Are these the criteria that are a good criteria to judge who the best loved, exact words, best loved sportscasters are? This list is wild. We will get to that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.